Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, souls and demons, and welcome back to the portal. Today's story is called I Met the Voice in Your Head That Tells You to Do Bad Things, written by Drake Cooper. So sit back, grip your seats, and enjoy. The day started just like any other. I got up, went to work, and that's when things start to get a little fuzzy. The next thing I remember is waking up in darkness. The kind of darkness that you can feel surrounding you. You can't see your hand just inches from your face. My breathing starts to pick up as I'm starting to panic. I feel around and can tell I'm on a bed. No restraints. I'm free to move around at will. I run my hand down the wall. It feels like cinder blocks and it's cold. I close my eyes and try to calm my breathing as I wait to allow my eyes to adjust to the darkness. In the quiet, I can hear something stir on the other side of the room. Who's there? I get no answer. Just heavy footsteps slowly heading my way. My breathing speeds up again. Who's there? I scream once again, trying to sound threatening. But the panic in my voice is very prominent and stops me from sounding intimidating. The footsteps stop. I open my eyes and blink rapidly, hoping to speed up the process of my eyes adjusting to the darkness. The only thing I can see is the outline of a towering figure standing in the middle of the room. It raises its hands and pulls something. It was a pull string attached to a light fixture. A dull light comes on and is cutting through the darkness, illuminating the figure that was standing before me. I let out an involuntary yelp of fear as the figure was no human. A thick layer of black fur goes from the feet of the beast up to its neck. Its head was just a skull. Looked to me to be the skull of a bear. Horns are protruding from the top of the skull, twisting and curling around like a ram's horn until ending in a sharp point. Even with the thick fur, you can make out the muscular definition in its arms and chest. What do you want? Not even trying to hide my panic at this point. Who are you?
Malum, the beast said in a deep, demonic voice.
Okay, Malum, what do you want? Why am I here? Looking around with the light on, I now notice that I'm in my basement. Please let me go, I have a family.
You will go nowhere. You will sit and listen to what I have to say, and see what I have to show you.
What the hell could you possibly show me in my basement? With those words, Malum starts to walk towards me. Terrified, I begin to backpedal across the bed until my back is flat against the cold cinder block wall. Please, please leave me alone, I scream. Malum reaches out his massive hand and places it on my forehead. He could have easily palmed my head like a basketball if he wanted. A flash of light fills my vision. And suddenly I find myself in the back of an SUV going down the interstate. I can't control my body. I'm just a passenger taking in the scene around me. I instantly recognize where I am. It's 2009, and my unborn daughter is having severe complications. We are going to the hospital. I put my hand on my wife's belly and feel her kick. Tears fill my eyes and start to run down my cheeks. I began to cry, knowing this will be the last time I feel her kick. Another flash and I'm at the graveyard. I'm gazing down at a teddy bear headstone. I just had to bury my daughter. I try to keep it together, but on the inside, I don't know how I will continue. The world is collapsing around me. Suddenly I'm back on the bed in my basement as Malem draws his hand back away from my head. "Why did you show me that?" I ask with tear-filled eyes. Without a word, Malem snaps his fingers, and the bedside table drawer pops open. I slowly make my way to the open drawer while keeping a close eye on Malem, but he doesn't move. I peer inside to see my .357 Magnum revolver. I reach inside and pull it out. My hand fits perfectly around the black handle grip. I can see my reflection in a long, shiny barrel. What am I supposed to do with this?
"You have lived a life full of pain. What do you have to live for?" Malem asks.
"You want me to kill myself? I'm not going to do that." In the blink of an eye, Malem is back at the bedside, placing his hand back on my head, followed by that familiar flash of light. It was like a speed round of tragedy I experienced, a flash of light taking me from one scene to the other. It started with me walking in my grandparents' living room to see the paramedics trying to revive my grandfather, unsuccessfully. Numerous fights when I was younger over people making fun of my weight. I was not one to just sit back and take bullying. My first car wreck when I totaled a Mustang after rear-ending a truck. My cousin that I considered a brother stealing from me. It all leads up to the one thing in my life that hasn't been able to heal. It has been a year and a half and it still hurts to my core. It was last summer, 10 years after the first flashback. I'm kissing my kids on the forehead. They're crying as they get in the car with their mom. "I'll miss you, Dad," my oldest yells out before the door shuts in her face. My wife had cheated after 11 years of being together. When I walk in the house, I regain control of my body. I go to the freezer and pull out a bottle. I go flop back in my recliner and turn up the bottle of cheap Canadian whiskey. It hurts so much, but I have to put on a brave face and be strong for the kids. Now that the kids are spending the week with their mom, I will drink my pain away. "How could this bitch do this to me?" I say aloud to no one, but to my surprise, I get a response. The deep, demonic voice of Malem rings out from behind me. "You didn't pay her enough attention, so she found someone that would. I worked 60 hours a week to provide for us. I did the best I could. And a relationship is a two-way street. We both have to put in an effort. I had all the same reasons to cheat as she did, but my dumb ass stayed faithful." Sometimes during my tirade, my surroundings slowly melted from my living room back to my cold, musty basement. I'm now standing in front of the only mirror in the basement hanging on the wall. My hands are shaking as I stare at the .357 Magnum. All I've done is try my hardest to be the best I can, and it's never good enough. Maybe Malem is right. Unexpectedly, my reflection moves out of sync with me. All I can do is watch my reflection raise his hand and put the gun to his head. "What do you have to live for?" my reflection says before pulling the trigger and blowing a giant hole in his head, dropping to the ground with a thud. I turn to see Malem standing in the center of the basement.
"You try so hard to get nowhere. Why do you keep going?"
"You didn't show any of the good. All you showed was the tragedy in my life. I have a great job. I have loving friends and a great family that is there for me when I need them. I went on to have 3 more wonderful children. They love me with all their heart, and I would do anything for them. That is my reason for living. I will not leave them behind." By now, the terror has left, and my blood is boiling. I'm screaming at this monster standing in the middle of my basement. "I will never kill myself. I have plenty to live for." Malem lets out a roar that sounds like a mix of a bear and a demon. I aim the .357 at him and unload. 2 bullets strike his stomach, and he lets out another roar. I continue to shoot. 3 more to his chest, and the last one connects with Malem's head, blowing a chunk of the bear-like skull off and it drops to the floor with a clink. Malum falls to the ground. I don't give him a chance to get up before I run up the stairs and out the basement door. As I exit the basement, a bright light fills my vision. The light hurts my eyes but soon dissipates. And I find myself in a hospital room looking down at myself, lying in a hospital bed hooked up to numerous machines. The door opens and my dad rushes in. My mom is sitting on the chair beside the hospital bed. I have no idea how I didn't see her sitting there earlier. He's in a coma. The doctors aren't sure if he will pull through, my mom tells my dad. They embrace and cry in each other's arms. A movement in the corner of the room catches my eye. It's Malum. I don't know what else I expected since I'm still trapped in whatever hell this is. Why won't you die? I scream at him as I close the gap between us. You've tortured me with the tragedies of my past. And now what is this, my future? It's your present, Malum explained. He must have seen the confusion on my face. I'll show you. Before I can protest, he reaches out and places his hand upon my head once again, followed by the flash of light. Suddenly I'm speeding down a back road, whiskey bent and hellbound, blaring from the speakers. I'm drunk, depressed, and careless with my own life and any other lives that may be on the road that night, bending the curves with reckless abandon. Tires were screeching around each curve as I pushed my car to its limits. I reach over and grab the bottle of whiskey lying in my passenger seat. I pop off the top, and I turn it up and take a few large gulps. By the time I'm done and my eyes meet the road once more, I'm speeding much too fast into a sharp curve. I smash the brake pedal with everything I have. The brakes lock down and the car skids into the curve and off of an embankment. The front of my car is meeting a tree. The airbag is the only thing that kept me from exiting the car through the front windshield. Flash, and I'm back in the hospital room, my mom still by my side. Malum is still standing in the corner. Are you keeping me from coming out of the coma? Malum was silent. The gun did nothing to help me escape this hell. So I did the only other thing I could think of to destroy this evil trapping me in my mind. I haven't been to church in a decade, but I hadn't forgotten how to pray. I start my prayer at a whisper, and I notice that Malum was beginning to act restless. So I get louder and walk towards him. That's not a good idea, Malum says with malice in his voice. I begin to speed walk towards him, and before long I'm only inches from the beast. At this point, I'm screaming this prayer at the top of my lungs. Malum bends down to get face to face with me before letting out a roar so loud that it left my ears ringing. I didn't let it stop me. I continued the prayer, and this time I put my hand on his forehead. Malum's empty eye sockets begin to glow with a bright white light. He lets out another roar, this time with a hint of pain behind it. I press my hand harder on his head and continue my prayer. Malum drops to his knees. And I finish my prayer with an amen. The white light beaming from his eyes overtake the entire hospital room. As the light began to dissipate, and my blurry vision began to clear, the light that had previously filled the room was now just a fluorescent light bulb attached to the ceiling above me. I look around to see the hospital room I had saw myself dying in. I see my mom asleep on the hospital recliner beside the bed. Despite all the pain I was in, I couldn't keep myself from smiling. I recovered fully from my injuries. I quit smoking, cut my drinking down to socially, and will never drive drunk again. I started eating better and going to the gym as often as I can. I'm determined to turn this pathetic life around. Not just for me, but my kids. Never give in to the evil inside. If you or someone you know is contemplating suicide, please reach out. You can find help at a National Suicide Prevention Lifeline.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
What do one of the world's top food cities, a nationally celebrated zoo and science museum, and a Condé Nast Traveler Top 10 Best Big City in the Country have in common? Yes, it's Columbus. This isn't just a stop on the map. It's where award-winning flavors, unforgettable family moments, and big city buzz come together. Let's be honest, Columbus is turning heads. For top-of-the-line discoveries in your own backyard, visit experiencecolumbus.com/summer.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.